As soon as today, senators will see more photographs and possibly videos of American soldiers abusing Iraqi prisoners. U.S. officials have acknowledged the abuse was clearly wrong, but Senate testimony yesterday also hinted at some gray areas in the treatment of prisoners. Undersecretary of Defense Stephen Cambone said there are numerous approved techniques for interrogating prisoners, and an American general said interrogations have uncovered intelligence information that saved lives. We've called Mike Ritz, who's a former U.S. Army interrogator, to sort out which techniques are permitted. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just to be clear at the beginning, do U.S. Army regulations or the Geneva Convention covering prisoners of war permit any of the humiliations and dog bites and abuses we've actually seen captured on film?
No, it's quite clear. Although the Geneva Convention is slightly vague, it's quite clear. It says no physical or mental torture nor any other form of coercion may be inflicted on prisoners to secure information.
And then the Red Cross has complained about other methods of ill treatment in a report that was written in February and leaked this week. I just want to run through some of these very, very briefly, some of these techniques that the Red Cross says were used in Abu Ghraib and elsewhere. Hooding used to disorient people, putting a hood on their head, is that permitted?
Yeah, that's common practice with prisoner handling, but don't confuse prisoner handling with the interrogation process because it is very different.
Being stripped naked for several days?
No, that would be probably considered a form of neglect, which wouldn't be allowed under humane treatment.
The Red Cross says that the prisoners were given insufficient sleep. Is that permitted?
Sleep is something that is a very gray area because it's hard to determine what's sufficient for one's not sufficient for another.
Hmm. And the Red Cross also says there was food and water deprivation as part of the interrogations. Is that okay?
Absolutely not. There are very clearly defined rules as to how you can use food and water.
Another item, beatings with hard objects, including pistols and rifles.
You're forbidden to injure unless, this is a form of controlling the prisoner for safety and security.
Okay. Now, I want to go on to the approved techniques here. Stephen Cambone, the Assistant Secretary of Defense, Undersecretary of Defense, said there are approved techniques for interrogation. What are some of them?
Well, you can use forms of mental games with the prisoners and to confuse them, disorient them, moving them from place to place so they can never quite get their bearings. But most of our approaches with a prisoner have to do with playing on their own ego and playing with their own emotions to get them, to start talking.
And how do you determine a prisoner's breaking point?
Well, what we're really looking for is trying to get a reactive state out of the prisoner. I attribute it similar to when you have a discussion that becomes a heated argument with a spouse or a loved one, and you just blurt out something that you didn't really mean to do. We're trying to get them to blurt, and then once they blurt out something, then we can guide them into the questioning that we want to know.
And does torture, abuse, whatever you want to call it, produce reliable information, or is that not a reliable technique?
It's absolutely not reliable, because a person will be willing to say and do whatever you want them to do in order to stop the abuse.
Okay. Mike Ritz, thanks very much for speaking with us.
No, thanks for having me, Steve.
Mike Ritz is a former U.S. Army interrogator, and he is now an instructor for Team Delta, which is an independent group of former military personnel.